The pay freeze proposal that President Obama made on Monday has kind of caught people off guard. People were surprised to hear that it was coming, but something like that did not happen just at random. And someone with some inside knowledge about that is Robert Shea. He's a principal at Grant Thornton and a former associate director at the Office of Management and Budget for Government Performance, and also involved with some pay issues at OMB. And Robert is my guest now, and it's nice to talk to you again, as always, sir.
Thank you, Francis. Great to be with you.
Talk about what your role was when it comes to pay at OMB.
I've been waiting for years for somebody to ask me that question. The president has a couple of triggers throughout the year he has to pull to exercise his authority under the Federal Employee Pay Comparability Act. That law sets some requirements to raise civilian employee pay, and if the president doesn't take an action to countervene that, then pay rates skyrocket. So invariably, presidents have issued what's called an alternative pay plan, whereby they would provide a pay raise, but somewhat lower than that called for by the statute.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's got to make sure those papers get signed at the right time, and that was my responsibility. So I had to ensure that all the relevant agencies got an opportunity to opine on what they thought the pay policy should be, and got to usher that through the White House clearance process until we finally got a document signed by the president. So that's what just happened. The trigger called for by the Federal Employee Pay Comparability Act, FEPCA, called for the president to make a decision by the end of the calendar year. And so I can just see my old friends in OMB now ushering those same papers through the White House. And just like it happened with me, there were folks who advocated different pay policies, bigger than proposed increases, or a freeze, or perhaps even a reduction in pay for federal employees.
Mm-hmm. As you saw that, as you collected that information, that input from the agencies, what typically was the range of feedback that you got from the agencies about where pay should go? Did just about everybody weigh in for an increase, or was there a mix, or how did that feedback look?
The consistent concern among agencies was that Congress would enact a higher pay raise than that proposed by the president, and more importantly, they wouldn't fund it. They wouldn't give agencies the additional monies needed to pay employees that pay raise, and so they'd have to take it out of Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to find the money from somewhere else in order to provide employees that additional pay.
That seems to be a misconception that people have about this particular instance, and that is, as you and I talked about a little bit before we went on the air, the money is the money. The agency gets X amount of dollars, and so they have to structure the pay accordingly. Is that right?
That's right. Then, unless, so generally, agencies' budgets are decided in isolation of the pay raise. Some agencies, as they're getting their budget through OMB and up to the Congress, some get more money to pay for a pay raise. Others don't, but it differs. The bottom, but when Congress does something different than the president proposes, agencies don't get more or less money. So if the pay raise is less than the president is proposed, agency budgets aren't reduced.
Mm-hmm.
Those monies aren't rescinded. Likewise, if Congress enacts a higher pay raise, agencies don't get more money. They have to find it. And that's true here. So the president has changed his mind from what he proposed in the budget and proposes instead a pay freeze. That won't save any money. The debt reduction won't be served by this decision. Agencies will have some additional funds to use for some other purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's a kind of a misconception then about how I think most people see this. What was your observation when you listened to the president on Monday? What was that? What jumped to your mind first?
I'm like, there've got to be three people who know that today was the day for him to make the FEPCA decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's arcana. It's an only in Washington story. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Freezing pay won't save money.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is because the decision on what to pay people is made in isolation of how much money agencies get. So my thought was, at least with respect to the savings that had been advertised, that don't, unless they rescind money from each individual agency budget, those savings won't really materialize.
Mm-hmm. Robert Shea of Grant Thornton's my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, and we're talking about the pay freeze proposed by President Obama on Monday based on Robert's experience at the Office of Management and Budget. And we'll continue our conversation and talk about some of the potential effects when In Depth continues in just a moment.
This week on Agency of the Month featuring the GSA is brought to you by Commercial Data Systems.
Steve Kemp is the commissioner of the GSA Federal Acquisition Service.
My vision that in 10 years, FAST will be the platform for business of government. I think in the future, we need to be easy to do business with. For industry, that means it will allow you to include your full portfolio of offerings on our contracts, use those contracts to offer the full value of solutions that you have, and an ease of administration of your contract.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Commercial Data Systems is a small disadvantaged information technology systems integrator specializing in virtualization, cross-domain security, and database operations. With more than 25 years of contracting experience, CDS understands how to ease the procurement process for government clients. CDS offers GSA schedule purchasing with over 200,000 commercial off-the-shelf IT products, including a blanket purchase agreement for your Oracle hardware and software needs. To learn more, visit cdsinc.com. That's CDSinc.com.
Why does a waiting room have to feel like a waiting room? And does a stress test have to be so stressful? At Kaiser Permanente, we don't think it does, and we've made the changes to prove it. With brand new state-of-the-art facilities opening all around the Mid-Atlantic, like the Kaiser Permanente Capitol Hill Medical Center, we're poised to become the leader in healthcare for the D.C. and Baltimore area. With easier access to primary and specialty care, full-service radiology, lab tests, and pharmacy services, we're offering more choices than ever before. Our staff of top-notch physicians is growing by more than 200, providing greater access to care. And our innovative electronic medical records allow members to view their own medical history 24/7. Plus, members can email their doctor's office, check most lab results, refill prescriptions, and even choose their primary care and OBGYN, all online. The future in healthier care is already here. Find it at kp.org/MidAtlantic. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
President Barack Obama is looking for help from former Secretary of State Colin Powell to help jumpstart the short-circuited nuclear treaty talks with the Russians. Powell, a retired four-star Army general and former Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, said, "We're not exactly sure what's going on in the Russian Federation, and they don't know what's going on here." The START treaty would reduce how many strategic warheads the U.S. and Russia could hold and set up a system so each could inspect and verify each other's arsenal. I'm J.J. Green.
When you think of forensics, a popular TV show with crime scene investigators probably comes to mind. But have you ever thought about forensics at the 30,000-foot level? Literally. Air Inc. has. Air Inc. and their partners help oversee the airspace above the nation's capital and have the ability to recreate virtually any situation to indisputably determine the facts, marrying everything from voice recordings to video to GPS. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. In the age of austerity, what does it mean for contractors? Insights from Stan Soloway of the Professional Services Council. Those wireless networks, they're ubiquitous. But are they secure? GAO has their assessment. We'll talk to them. And we'll kick off our look at the big stories of 2010 today. Robert Burton talks procurement this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dora Beck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Shea of Grant Thornton, and we're talking about the proposal that President Obama made on Monday to freeze federal pay in fiscal 2011 and 2012. And understandably, I think whenever people talk about pay, Robert, folks get all in an uproar really fast.
It's amazing to look at stories and see the relative number of comments. Pay, no matter what you say about the call for public service, pay remains really close to people's heart.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because being a kind of a numbers geek occasionally, on Tuesday, I was on with Chris Dorbeck on the afternoon show, and we talked about the idea that...
Y'all just interview each other?
Sometimes that happens, yeah. It's weird how that works out. When we were talking about, we used the example of somebody who makes $100,000 a year for the federal government, and the original pay increase that was proposed earlier this year was 1.5%. So that means in 2011, under this model, if this goes through as the president's proposed, this person would make $100,000 instead of $101,500, which when you think about it that way, it doesn't sound like a whole lot. Then when you break it down into 26 pay periods, that means that person will gross $57 or something like that less than they would if the pay increase were to go through. And yet, we have all the conversations that we've had over the last several days about the potential impact on recruiting and the potential impact on retirement and on retention and so on and so forth.
You're right. It seems like a relatively small amount, but that's your phone bill. That's your cable bill. Imagine if somebody came to you and said, I'm going to pay your cable bill from now on. That would be, you'd be excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the basis on which next year's raise is computed. It's the basis on which your retirement is computed. You raise the most important part though. It's not the specific number that we're talking about, but the fact that a pay freeze has been so widely advertised will have an impact on recruitment and retention. You see, people care about pay. They're skeptical about working for an organization that's not going to pay you incrementally more based on whatever factors, hopefully your performance. And people are likely to get fed up and leave government if they don't have at least show some progress in their remuneration.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned this discussion and how it happens at the White House a couple of times a year throughout the time that you were there. Was the subject of a freeze brought up from time to time during your tenure at OMB?
Every time. And my argument against it was, Congress is not going to go along with a pay freeze. Remember, we were not in the economic turmoil we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Congress is not going to go along with it, so agencies are going to have to eat the cost of a higher pay raise. And in fact, a pay freeze does not save money. So I just think they were pursuing a lot of heartache without a lot of real concrete benefit.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the end result of this will be? Because as you say, Congress gets the say in this, and they could step in and say, you know what, Mr. President, this is maybe a good idea, and there might be some support for this, but not from us, and so we're going to stick the 1.5 back in there.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if, under the circumstances, the president's pay freeze proposal doesn't get enacted. I think there's such an interest in demonstrating fiscal austerity that it's that Congress, even before the new Congress is sworn in, will enact a pay freeze.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some chance that the federal employee unions are very persuasive. It's odd to me. This is one of the rare moments John Gage and I agree on anything, and that's that this is a symbolic gesture. And under the circumstances, I think John Gage is not gonna win, and the pay freeze will be enacted.
Mm-hmm. How do you, as a manager in an agency, deal with that structurally? The HR issues are separate, and we've talked on those, talked about those a little bit. We've talked about them earlier in the week, but structurally, budget wise, those kinds of things. What kind of challenges does this present for somebody who is trying to make things work in an agency?
So a really talented budget analyst will know where there are pockets of money from which to draw to cover shortfalls. That would be the need if there were an unfunded pay increase. In this situation, you've probably got something like a windfall. You've got additional monies that can be used for other purposes because agencies don't have to allocate those resources to a pay raise. Now, they can promote people faster. They can provide more performance-sensitive step increases, quality step increases. There are a number of options they can use to address any negative impact of the pay freeze. I hope that answers your question.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at. A savvy manager who has good budget people on staff is going to be able to go through these numbers and say, well, I've got X number of people that I want to make sure don't start to get a wandering eye, and I can use X mechanisms that are in place to be able to take care of those people, even though they're not going to get their 1.5 or whatever the number was going to be.
That's right. I mean, one of the positive impacts of this could be a more performance-sensitive pay system. Since you're not given an across-the-board pay increase, you're left to promoting people or increasing their pay based on the quality of their performance.
All right. Based then on that concept, that this is happening in the wake of the president saying we want to freeze pay for everybody, how private or public do you think a manager has to keep that kind of information? I mean, can somebody say, listen, this is the only way this is going to work, so, you know, burn the midnight oil and there might be something a little extra in the envelope for you?
Yeah, I think I think OMB and the White House has and OPM have instructed agencies not to abuse promotions or quality step increases. I believe that there will be, at least in the aggregate, some transparency on increases in quality step increases and promotions. I think that aggregate data might be required to be reported by OPM.
Mm-hmm.
How easy that'll be to get, I don't know, but I suspect it would be relatively easy, relatively transparent, and therefore measurable.
My understanding, though, too, the cynical part of side of me is saying that college football quarterbacks that receive money to go to particular schools that's supposed to be transparent too, and it doesn't seem to happen in a case that I'm thinking of right off the top of my head. So,
yeah,
Robert, it's great to talk to you as always. Your insight is always valuable, and it's great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, Francis. Thanks for having me.